reading you from 1 Peter, the first chapter, and with the sixth verse. In this you greatly rejoice, even though now for a little while, if necessary, you have been distressed by various trials, that the proof of your faith, being more precious than gold, which is perishable, even though tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Good evening there, my dear listening friends. Again, this evangelist Cecil Moe, and as you know, I'm a converted alcoholic, gave my heart to Christ over 52 years ago in a pastor's home in Seattle, Washington. 1 year later, God called me to preach. Our hearts were sure saddened today about that terrible shooting at the university down in Virginia. I've preached many revivals around that university and the one up in Charlottesville. Oh, friends, listen. When they took prayer out of our schools, they took Jesus out of many places in our government and things have really begun to happen. Oh, beloved, listen, we're living in the last days. I want you to know that. And we as Christians better stand up and be counted, because it won't be long. He's coming back. Well, listen, I'll be with you for a half an hour tonight. Won't you kick off your slippers, sit back, relax, pour you a glass of iced tea or a cup of coffee. Let's see what the Lord has for us, okay? Friends, if you have your Bibles with you, won't you turn with me to the book of Jude? That's that little bitty book just before Revelation here. Okay, let's read in the 14th and the 15th verse. And about these also Enoch, in the seventh generation from Adam, prophesied, saying, Behold, the Lord came with many thousands of his holy ones, to execute judgment upon all, and to convict all the ungodly of all their ungodly deeds, which they have done in an ungodly way, and of all the harsh things which ungodly sinners have spoken against him. We've labeled this Enoch, the preacher with one message. Oh, friends, here are some interesting facts about Enoch. The Bible tells us in Genesis 5:24, and Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. Well, according to the Hebrews, book of Hebrews, he didn't die. By faith, Hebrews 11:5, by faith Enoch was taken up so that he should not see death, and he was not found because God to him... for pity's sake, should not see death, and he was not found because God did give him up, for he obtained the witness that before he was being taken up, he was pleasing to God. What a wonderful thought. Here was a man that walked so close with God, and then one day, he didn't ever experience death. God just reached down there and brought him up to heaven. Listen, friends, he was a prophet and a preacher, and we read what he said. He will be martyred during the tribulation, according to Revelation 11. He will be martyred during the tribulation. That's exactly what he said. Now, what was Enoch's message? Well, it's very plain and simple. It was a message about the second coming of Christ. And I'm telling you, friends, the more I see, the longer I live, the more I read the Bible, it's inevitable. It's going to happen real soon. And he's going to come as a thief in the night. People laugh and scoff and say, where is this Jesus? He said he was coming back. Beloved, he is coming back. And you better keep your eyes tuned toward heaven, and clean your ears out so that you can hear the trump of the archangel. Because Jesus will appear in a cloud with outstretched arms, saying, "Come unto me, all your labor, and heavy laden." Friends, there is no chance after you die. There is no chance. It was a message about the seriousness of sin. You know what, friends? I am so surprised that so many Christians no longer really think sin is so bad. There's little sin and big sin. Sin is sin. And sin is what sent Jesus to the cross of Calvary to die for your sin and for my sin. I couldn't believe it when Reverend Tom Baird sat there in that living room at 3 o'clock in the morning and kept telling me, "But Cecil, God loves you." I said, "That's not possible. I've told you I was an alcoholic and I was a terrible person, an awful sinner." He said, "God loves you, and I'll tell you why. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life." Oh, friends, I've said this, and I was talking to my good brother in the Dalles the other day, and I said, "Look," and he even mentioned, I've said this so many times, and friends, it's true. If you have been born again, your sins have been washed in the blood, your name written in the Lamb Book of Life, and you know John 3:16, which I just quoted, you have enough ammunition to sit down and introduce a soul to Christ. Friends, I got a saddest phone call the other morning. This lady used to listen to my broadcast. Well, she got transferred and moved out of the country. And she said, "Cecil, after all these years, I found one of your book, Go Mo Go, and I got your phone number, and that's why I'm calling you." I said, "Well, I'm glad you called." She said, "My daughter lives in Tacoma, and she's a terrible alcoholic. And she's been divorced, and she's living with a guy." I said, "Well, I'll tell you what, I'll be glad to talk to her. I'll send you my movie and send you a book. I'll do whatever I can." And the woman never gave me her phone number, or I would have called her. So she called her daughter, sent all the stuff to her. And her daughter called her back and cussed her up one side and down the other. She called me, and she was in tears. Well, the other morning she called me and says, "Oh, Cecil, my daughter was living with this guy, and she had been drunk for a couple of days, and he threw her out on the street. She pulled out a pistol, stuck it to her head, and shot herself." To this day, she might be still. She was on this apparatus to keep her alive, and so she was still alive. And I told her mother, I said, "Ma'am, listen to me. Listen. If God's going to save her, no matter what happens, she'll live. She'll live to be saved if that's what God wants for her life." And we know that it is. Let me tell you, I was in Salt Lake City with a lay group. And we were over there in a lay revival. And this boy come in and he said, "You know, I was an alcoholic for many, many years." He said, "I hated God. I hated churches. I hated Christians. But one night," he said, "I got so sad that I got a shotgun and I stuck it in my mouth and I pulled the trigger. I blew half of my face off." Well, since then they've had plastic surgery. He don't look bad now. But he said, "Did you know what? I gave my heart to Jesus. I'm going to heaven now. Had I died, I'd have been in hell." Friends, listen, you've got so many days to live on this earth. Christian friend of mine, let's get busy. Let's quit complaining and groaning and moaning and get out and tell men and women about Jesus. Because I'm going to tell you what, when that last soul is saved, Jesus will come back. Jesus will come back. It was a message by a man who practiced what he preached. Enoch preached a timely message. It was a good message for Enoch's time, because Enoch lived during the ungodly time before the flood. Oh, friends, that must have been terrible. But you know what? I can't see any difference now than back in the time before the flood. The only difference is we've got God's promise by the rainbow that he's not going to destroy the earth by water again. But he is coming back, friends. Let me emphasize, if you're not saved tonight, you're not ready for his second coming. You've got to get ready. How do you get ready? By listening to the message, repent. Open your heart. Invite Christ in. You know, one time, there was this little old lady. She was about 65 or 70 years old, and she was an alcoholic. Her husband was a judge. She walked the streets of Bellingham begging for drinks, sleeping with men for drinks. And her daughter, I had led her daughter's alcoholic husband to Christ. Well, let me tell you what happened. She got sick and she was sent to the hospital. And she told, her daughter came out and said, "Mom's in the hospital and I don't know if she's going to live." I jumped in my car and I run over there to the hospital. And it was a kind of a cool evening. Well, it was a warm day, but it was a kind of a cool evening. And the window blind, the curtain was blowing into the window. And that dear lady was sitting there in that bed, kind of sit-up position, long flowing white hair. And she said, "Son, what took you so long to get here? What took you so long to get here?" I said, "I see the message is still the same. God loves you. Christ died for you." And right there in the cool of that evening, I took that dear old lady by the hands and she prayed to receive Christ as Savior. I had the privilege of preaching her funeral. And also her son-in-law, who I had the privilege of introducing to Christ. Friends, listen. Soul winning is just not for special people. You're not born a soul winner. You have to develop the talent that God gives you. Everyone has at least one talent. But the more you use that, he'll give you another talent and another talent and on and on and on. Violence was increasing. Storm clouds of judgment were gathering and ungodliness was common. And his message addressed the problem. Enoch kept walking with God and was blessed. Now his son Methuselah lived 969 years. His great-grandson Noah found grace and saved the race. Enoch's message was not popular amongst his contemporaries. And listen to me here. It will be a good message for the tribulation time. Now, I read in Revelation's 11th chapter here. It says, he will be martyred during the tribulation. Enoch's going to be martyred. After the rapture of the church, that tribulation begins. Oh, my precious friend, hell on earth. People who are not saved will go through that terrible tribulation of 7 terrible years. People will pray that rocks will fall on them so they can hide from God. There's no place to hide from God. He knows where you're at. He knows what you're thinking tonight. He knows all about you. This will be earth's most terrible time. And I read in Matthew 24:21, "And then there will be a great tribulation, such as not occurred since the beginning of the world until now, nor ever shall." Oh, friends, it's enough to make your hair stand on end. It will be a time of wickedness, violence, and sacrilege. 2 prophets arrive on the scene, preaching and pronouncing judgment. Elijah and Enoch will come back to preach and to die. The 2 who escape death will then experience it in Hebrews 9:27. "And inasmuch as it is appointed for men to die once, and after that comes the judgment." Oh, friends, listen. Don't you know that God loves you tonight? You say, Cecil, you make it sound so easy. No, it's not easy. I understand that. And I know when I was lost, I know I wanted so desperate to have peace, but I didn't know where to find it. I feared death like you can't believe, because I knew where I was going when I died. Listen, only the raptured church truly escapes death. And I read in 1 Corinthians 15:51, "Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump will sound, and the dead will be raised imperishable, and we shall be changed." Friends, now the people who have died back many, many, many years ago, hundreds of years ago, in all the wars, these who have been born again, only the born again people, they will rise first. They will rise first, and those of us who are alive will be changed, and we will be snapped up, and we'll go to be with Jesus forevermore. Sounds crazy, don't it? It's going to happen. Being born of a virgin wasn't really the best message to tell, but he was. All these things that have been prophesied from the Old Testament up to date has come to pass. The only thing left now is the resurrection. I mean, is the coming of the Lord. That's the only thing that's left to do. And when we lead that last soul to Christ, that's when it'll happen. Well, it warns that Christ's coming will bring judgment to sinners, and it carries a theme of the ruling Christ as he established his kingdom. It's a good message for our time. We need to stress the neglected message of Christ's return. Don't hear much about it anymore. This message adds urgency to the preaching of the gospel. And it says in 1 John 3:2, the message purifies the lives of believers. "Behold, now we are children of God, and if it has not appeared as yet what we shall be, we know that when he appears, we shall see him, because we shall be just as he is." Like Enoch, we need to stress the seriousness of sin. In an age of compromise, we need to awaken people to God's holiness. Years ago, I used to be the director, when I was a pastor in a church in Anacortes, Washington. There's a lady in our church said, "Cecil, there's a little old lady over there in the rest home, and she wants to see you." So I said, "All right," and I went over there, and she said, "Before you say a word, preacher, I want to ask you, do you believe that Jesus is coming back?" I said, "I most assuredly do." I said, "All right, we can talk." She said, "You know, my husband was a Presbyterian pastor. He was a soul winning preacher. And, you know," he said, "when he died, we lived out here in the islands in a beautiful home. And," he said, "you know what? He died, and so I couldn't take care of the place. And so they brought me over to the rest home here. And I said, 'Lord, I don't want to live here. I want to go back to my home.' So she went back to her home. And pretty soon she got bad. They took her back to the rest home. So she said, 'Lord, I'm going to have to find out what you want from my life, because you won't let me stay at my home.'" Guess what she did? Guess what she did? She would take her Bible and she would go to room and share Jesus Christ with those elderly men and women. She would pray with them. She was the happiest lady I ever saw in my life. Why? She was doing the divine will of God. God had a purpose for her going to that rest home, just like he has a purpose for your life today. Friends, please don't get so tied up in your church you don't have time to love Jesus and serve him. People are falling in love with their church and their preacher, but they forget Jesus. If it wasn't for him, we wouldn't have nothing today. We would be nothing today. Oh, listen. We need to stress the seriousness of sin. In an age of compromise, we need to awaken people to God's holiness. Friends, listen to me. These things that are happening in our high schools scares me. These things happening into our grade schools, what they're teaching about homosexuality, what they're teaching about things that are wrong. Oh, it's we can't talk about that. We can't tell a man that they're going to hell because they're a homosexual. But the Bible says so. Don't get mad at me. That's what God said. Men with men and women with women. Enoch's powerful message grew out of walking with God. What secrets Enoch learned during his walk with God? Well, his communion with his Lord made him a man ahead of all of his time. Friends, we must walk with God in order to reach the people of our time. We're living in a godless nation. We're living in a nation of godless people. People who want money, they want wealth, they want everything, but they don't want Jesus. And he's the only hope. He's our only hope. Friends, what about you tonight? Did you know that your sins was on Jesus when he died? My sins were there. Your sins were there. Now he says, come unto me, all you labor and heavy laden, I'll give you rest. He begs us, he pleads with us to come to him on his terms. What is that? Repentance and turning our back on the wayward life and coming to Christ, opening our hearts. That's what he wants for your life tonight. Now let me ask you this. Are you ready? Are you ready right now for his second coming? What if he were to come tonight or in the morning? Or the next day? Do you think these 23 people that died and got killed, shot, cold blood down there, you think that they knew they were going to meet their maker that next 15 minutes? Of course they didn't. But we can be ready. How? By accepting Jesus. If you've never trusted Christ tonight, would you like to bow your head and pray the most powerful prayer a man could pray? Would you like to do that? If not, please don't pray this unless you mean it. And here's how the prayer goes. Precious Lord, I pray that you'll forgive my sins and you'll come into my heart tonight, Lord, and save me for Jesus' sake. Amen. If you prayed that, please call me 303-471-8534. I'll not use your name on the air. I won't embarrass you. I won't ask you for any money. I don't care where you go to church. Oh, I'm concerned where you spend eternity. Please give me a call. And if you can't afford to call me collect, and I'll be glad to talk with you. 303-471-8534.
Gives me strength from day to day.
Well, friends, for the past half hour, your host has been Evangelist Cecil Moe. Oh, friends, my heart is so broken tonight about that lady that's put that gun to her head. Oh, she don't think anyone loves her. She thinks that we're all hate her, but oh, friends, if she just knew what God's love was. Well, friends, please pray for her. Just the lady that's over in Washington. Pray for me and my wife and our health. And pray that God will continue to open doors for us in prisons and rescue missions. And pray that God will help me never, never to quit telling people how to be saved. Because that's the thing that I live for, the thing I want to do every day in my life. So, friend, until this time next Sunday night, would you be good to your neighbors? Stay sweet. Keep looking up for this wonderful Jesus is coming sooner than a lot of people think. Good night, and may God bless you real good.